Bag centers keep your head once joined by Gutfusion in just a bit, but our duties include getting through the play of the game, our scoring highlights, and we'll hear from Josh. And let's get started. And Dan, in that first period, Buffalo really got off to a good start. A midway of the period goal and then a power play goal late gave them a little bit of a cushion early on.
Yeah, we talked before the game about the Ducks' maddening propensity to give up the game's first goal and sometimes multiple goals. Well, it happened again today. The Sabres at the 9:53 mark get goal number one. Dylan Cousins off a rush made a nice move around Ducks winger Jakob Silverberg, who was the last defender back, and Cousins scored top shelf from the left side, his 16th goal of the season. Rasmus Dahlin and Ilya Labushkin with the assist. Sabres led it 1-0, and then Buffalo taking advantage of a hooking penalty on Ducks rookie center Mason McTavish. On the power play, Tage Thompson carried the puck into the Anaheim zone, fed Alex Tuck, who made a nice little dish to Jeff Skinner in the slot, and Skinner beat John Gibson from there, his 19th of the season from Tuck and Thompson at 17:39. To give Buffalo a 2-0 advantage.
Well, one of the positives for Anaheim on this afternoon in Buffalo, Trevor Zegras, and he got that goal that put us on the board for the first time.
Yeah, nice little pass here from Ryan Strome is setting up Trevor Zegras from the bottom of the left wing faceoff circle. And Zegras, a nifty shot, short side, beating Buffalo goaltender Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen on the blocker side. For Zegras, his 16th of the season. Strome and Max Comtois, the assist that pulled the Ducks within 2-1 at 4:47 of the second period.
And then Trevor said, hey, I did it once, let's do it again.
Sure did. Trevor Zegras skating from the right wing side into the slot and snapped a shot past Luukkonen at 8:14 for Zegras, his 17th goal of the season, giving him the team lead in that category. Defenseman Nathan Beaulieu with the assist. Ducks had tied it 2-2.
The youngster, and he's got some skill. He's going to be a good player for a long time with the organization. Peyton Krebszen gave Buffalo an original 1-0 lead. Well, he got the one goal back, and Buffalo led by a tally after this score.
Yeah, this was a weird play because just moments earlier, John Gibson had come racing out of the Anaheim net to prevent a potential Buffalo breakaway. As he was scrambling back to the crease, Buffalo put the puck toward the goal only to have it sail wide. But the ensuing moments were rather chaotic. And when Rasmus Dahlin carried the puck from left to right behind the net, John Gibson had come out a little bit too far, perhaps, to try to defend against Dahlin, and that enabled Peyton Krebs to convert from in front when Dahlin got the puck there. Krebs gets his 5th of the season from Dahlin and Kyle Oposo at 10:49 of the second period. Buffalo was back on top, 3-2.
And a big goal at the time was the one that was the last goal scored by either team in the second period at 15:29. Our play of the game is brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. It was a goal scored by defenseman Simon Benoit. Here's Henrique chugging to center. Little feed on left wing. Simon Benoit coming in. Fired the puck behind the net. It's held into the point by Zegras. Off to Simon Benoit. Shot! Score! Simon Benoit said, you know what? I'm just going to fling it towards the net. He did, and it beats Luukkonen, and the Ducks get back the goal they just gave up. Have tied the score at 3-3.
Simon Benoit, who scored in the second period Thursday in Columbus to bring the Ducks into a 3-3 tie, does the exact same thing here. Just kind of walked off the right wing boards toward the slot and perhaps surprised Sabres goaltender Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen with the shot from there. Benoit gets his third goal of the season, second in as many games. Zegras and Henrique the assists. Both Trevor Zegras and Adam Henrique now with five-game point streaks. For Zegras, two goals and an assist this afternoon gives him 40 points. He is now the Ducks' leading scorer.
And with some of the young talent, two guys in particular that really had a great third period to kind of blow this game wide open.
Yeah, the Sabres able to withstand and the Ducks come back and really win this game going away. Victor Olofsson with two goals in the third period, including the game winner at 2:12, taking advantage of an odd man rush and a feed from defenseman Ilya Labushkin. Olofsson gets his 20th goal of the season to make it 4-3 Sabres, and then 5-3 Sabres with his 21st goal of the season at 8:07. Ducks winger Max Comtois unable to handle the puck in the neutral zone. That led to a breakaway for Olofsson. He converted Tyson Jost and Owen Power the assists to give Buffalo a 5-3 lead. And then the absolute dagger, Peyton Krebs, his second goal of the game after the Ducks had won a defensive zone faceoff and managed to clear the zone. The Sabres came flying right back in, and Krebs scored from the slot, his sixth of the season from Tuck and Labushkin. The Buffalo defenseman Ilya Labushkin with three assists, and the Sabres win it 6-3.
All right, let's bring in Josh here. We've talked a little bit about the scoring, and if you were with us from the start, you know a little bit about some of the details. But, Josh, back in SoCal, what were your impressions when all was said and done with this effort?
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I think the Ducks should really hold their heads high after this one. I know they got burned in the third period, but when you look at that second period, and the second period has been an issue all year long, we were 3-1 over Buffalo in goals in the second period, and 19-17 in shots on goal in the second period. I thought the middle of the game really showed that, you know, we were doing a good job keeping pace with this fast-paced club. And I think that, you know, you take a look at where Buffalo is now, you might think, hey, in a year or so, the Ducks could be in similar position, knocking on the playoff door. They've got so many first-round picks on that Sabres club, and, you know, the Ducks have a lot in the pipeline. It's a disappointment. I think there's no doubt that past Cam Fowler, and we missed it, Jamie Drysdale, our defensive zone coverage is often, it's a little tough. And that really killed us today, but we certainly kept pace, and it's just unfortunate that the third period didn't go our way, but I think the Ducks should take a look at what they did against the Jackets and against the Sabres, and let's bottle that.
Yeah, you know, for my money, what stands out to me about this game is the fact the Buffalo Sabres just have more depth than do the Anaheim Ducks. We mentioned on the pregame show the fact the Sabres came in today with six players who were in double figures in the goal scoring column, and three of those players got on the board today. Victor Olofsson with two goals, Jeff Skinner and Dylan Cousins with one each, and then on top of that, youngster Peyton Krebs with a couple of goals. So that's one thing. You look at Buffalo's balance. For the Ducks, it was basically the Trevor Zegras show. He scored the first two goals, set up the third by defenseman Simon Benoit, and otherwise, there wasn't a whole lot there. So, you know, the Ducks are in a rebuild, as are the Sabres. The Sabres clearly farther along than are the Ducks, and it showed today.
You know what? Let me ask both of you guys this question. One of the things that sticks out to me, you get a good effort against Columbus. In fact, you come from behind, and I thought, hey, man, you know what? You got some momentum going here. Is it about consistency now, getting the same result from the previous game and putting a couple wins together to maybe turn the thing around? Josh?
Yeah, I'll go first. I think, look, I you have to have belief. You have to have faith, and you can't get blown off the mark. And I thought today, look, we don't like that the Sabres scored the first two goals. You guys are just talking about that. But the belief was there, and I think that this club knew that it could keep pace. So, you know, I look at the day-to-day thing here with the Ducks, and I look at it really as a mental thing. Like, you've got to stay on the mark, and you've got to believe in what you're able to do. This is a club that presented us with a real fast-paced game, high-pressure game, trading chances, and the Ducks hung in there. So, you know, as we move forward here, and, you know, we're going to go to Arizona in a few days, just keep the faith, because you've got to know that there, when you play a certain way, you're getting good results. So I hope that the Ducks can stay mentally strong.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes, and it's understandable, I suppose, we have a tendency to focus so much on the Ducks that perhaps we lose sight of the opposition. And I think if you look at the games Thursday night in Columbus and here today in Buffalo, very similar games. The Ducks coming from behind in both games, get the game to 3-3. And then in Columbus, whereas Anaheim was able to score the two third-period goals to emerge with the victory, today it was the Sabres doing that, scoring three times, in fact. And I think the difference isn't with the Ducks. I think the Ducks basically played a similar game today as they did Thursday night. Slow start, big rally. The difference is the Buffalo Sabres are a considerably better team than are the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Sabres were able to withstand that rally and not wilt as the Blue Jackets did. So I don't think it's really as much about the Ducks as it is about the quality of the opposition, much higher today. As far as the Ducks go, though, the one thing, guys, and we've talked about it more than once, the one thing I really like about this team is win, lose, or draw, they battle, they don't give in, and they have shown the intestinal fortitude to come back in games. You're not always going to win when you do that, but at the very least, you're going to make it entertaining, and today was entertaining.
All righty. Well, we're looking forward to our trip to the Arizona area. We're heading there in just a little bit, and we'll be on the air. That's coming up on Tuesday night, and then after that, it's on to end the road trip with a game in Denver against Colorado on Thursday. I want to thank everybody involved with the broadcast today and this afternoon. It was a fun day to be in Buffalo. Results weren't what we wanted, but we'll get them next time when they come to Anaheim in several weeks. And I want to thank Josh and Dan for their work today. I'm Steve Carroll. I want to let you know, Anaheim Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network has been brought to you by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit ucihealth.org/stop-at-nothing. We will talk to you on Tuesday night, folks, and have a good couple of days. Josh Brewster returns with Duck Calls, and that is next right here on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
He delivers the first foray, a couple of rights.
Nothing pushes the momentum of a hockey game forward like a good fight. And if you love that drama, you'll love listening to Court TV right on TuneIn, where you can stream crime news and live trials in audio form. Plus, you can also stream top news headlines brought to you by Newsy. TuneIn is the destination for your Ducks and the best place for crime news and breaking headlines. Hear it all here.
For Zegras and shoot, score!
Are you big on sports? What are we talking about? You're a Ducks fan. Of course you are. So keep yourself in the game on all the sports coverage you love with TuneIn's exclusive Believe 24/7 station, bringing you nonstop Believe podcast content in one handy around-the-clock radio station, so you can stream hot takes and game-changing moments curated just for you while you're waiting for the next Ducks stream game. Listen now, right here on TuneIn.
Shoot, score!
Is intense. Looking to lower that heart rate between Ducks games? Check out Calm Radio right here on TuneIn. That's right. The same folks who bring you meditation techniques are now bringing their Zen-friendly instrumental music stations to TuneIn. Stream soothing solo acoustic guitar, beautiful classical arrangements, and more, so that you're calm, cool, and collected for the next Ducks stream game. Hear it here on TuneIn.
Global news happens fast. Stay plugged into your world with TuneIn, the best app for all things audio. TuneIn brings you top news sources like CNN, Fox News Radio, and MSNBC, plus key financial outlets, including Bloomberg and CNBC. The best part? If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll unlock commercial-free news, bringing you more than 5 hours of bonus news content every day instead of ads. So keep up with the latest headlines and stay in the know every day with TuneIn.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. That's 714-940-2888 right here on Duck Stream today. An early game. Sabres 6, Ducks 3. Ouch. But I'll tell you what. I like the way the Ducks played. I think the Sabres are where the Ducks want to be in a year from now. With a lot of prospects and pipeline guys coming through. And you know, this was a good game for the Ducks. I'm not a silver lining salesman. But I'll tell you what, when you take a look at some of the things we did right here, it's a lot of good stuff here. It's unfortunate that, you know, we were victimized in the third period. Boy, Victor Olofsson, just to mention one among many, it's a seventh-round draft pick for the Sabres. He's got 21 goals. Let me go through this because this leads me to the Ducks, and I really think Duck fans should think about what's in the pipeline. Jack Quinn, 8th overall in 2020. Dylan Cousins, 7th overall in 2019. Owen Power, 1st overall in 21. Rasmus Dahlin, 1st overall in 18. Zemgus Girgensons, 14th overall in 2012. Casey Mittelstadt, 8th overall in 2017. I say all this because of Trevor Zegras, 9th overall. 3rd overall, Mason McTavish. We miss Jamie Drysdale, 6th overall. And there's more coming. Who knows when Nathan Gauthier would be ready? A big pick of ours in last June's draft. And he's a big kid from plays for the Quebec Remparts. You've got Pavel Minchikov, 10th overall. Plays for Saginaw defense. Nathan Gauthier, 22nd overall. Anyway, I could go on and on. You know, Olin Zellweger, a big second-round pick. There's a lot in the pipeline here for the Ducks. And I don't like to sell futures. I don't like to sell silver linings. But today, you know, you really had a good look at what the Ducks, if the Ducks can come out and keep the pace the way they kept the pace today. We've talked about, by the way, I have gone on and on about the passing game. And I have to tell you, I think in a lot of ways today was one of the better passing days that the Ducks have played. I thought that that aspect of the game, which is hard to track statistically, was certainly at a higher level than it's been. So I think you should take a look at the last two periods against Columbus, and then I guess at least the first two periods against the Buffalo Sabres. And you got to hope that the Ducks would have faith in continuing to play this way, keep the pace going. It's too bad the Sabres knocked off two first-period goals. But, boy, that second period, I have gone on and on about the second period. And today we're 19-17 in shots on goal in the second. We're 3-1 in goals. We outscored Buffalo 3-1 in the second period. Against Columbus, second period, 3-0 in goals in favor of the Ducks in the second period. 10-8, the shots on goal at Columbus. So these are some incremental improvements. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of history here. You're talking Troy Terry going up against Tage Thompson. And they helped, by the way, you know, we held Tage Thompson in check pretty well today. You know, he had an assist, but I'll tell you what, I thought they did a good job. And what I was going to say is Troy Terry, he played on a under-18 team I've talked about with Tage Thompson for Coach Don Granato back in 2014-15. Clayton Keller, Christian Fisher, Austin Matthews. It was a great club. So there's a lot of history here. Zegras is drafted 9th overall. Dylan Cousins went 7th overall in the same draft. There's a lot of young guys out here on the Ducks that wanted to prove themselves against the Sabres. I believe we have Dennis, calling all the way from Buffalo, New York. How you doing today, Dennis? Thank you for calling Duck Calls.
Josh, long time no talk.
Ah, neighborhood buddy. What's up, Dennis? How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing pretty well. My team is finally starting to turn it around. Sorry your team had to take it on the chin today.
Hey, Dennis, before you go on, because I recognize your voice, who was our neighbor on Ranch Trail West Street about a block and a half away? Do you remember his name? I think his number hangs from the rafters.
Mr. Cohen.
Mr. Gilbert Perrault, and a half away. Do you remember his name? I think his number hangs from the rafters.
No, I was thinking of Rick Cohen on Fox Trail.
Gilbert Perrault. Hey, so listen, Dennis, before we get into it, how did you feel seeing Ryan Miller's number? How did you feel seeing Ryan Miller's number go up? You know, he spent his final four seasons here. He was great in a backup role. He was one of the best things that ever happened, I thought, to John Gibson. And obviously, he's one of the great Buffalo athletes of all time. And I've always said this: character counts in Buffalo. And Ryan Miller was always beloved by the fans. How did you feel about seeing Ryan Miller's 30 going up?
Well, I was fortunate I was there that night. I was sitting behind the Islanders bench about five rows, so I got to take in the whole ceremony, which was a really quality ceremony put on by the organization. And you could see how touched he really was that they went through the effort and brought the teammates back and his family and his longtime friends and coaches. He was such a tremendous asset to not just the organization, but the community. He embraced the area. He made himself a part of the town, not just one of the all-time great athletes here. He really demonstrated that he loved it, and it was heartwarming to have him come back and express that so much, because not a lot of athletes will embrace a town like that. You know, it's a job.
Yeah.
And for them, and they don't always, they're there to do their time and collect their check, and when season's over, they go back to wherever they're from. So that was not the case for Ryan Miller.
Go ahead, Dennis. I'm sorry.
Nothing. I was just going to say that, he was one of the most cerebral goalies I think that you'll ever come across, first of all. And, obviously that showed in his, not just his talent, but his success on the ice, whether it was for Team USA or the Sabres or all the other teams that he ended up playing for towards the end of his career.
Yep. Well, Dennis, give me your take on today's game. You know, I it's interesting. Buffalo really put us away in the third period. I noted Victor Olofsson's seventh-round draft pick, and he's got 21 goals now. They've made a lot of good moves. I think the Jack Eichel move is working out for them. Alex Tuck is having a career year. He loves being there. Peyton Krebs is an up-and-comer. But from the Ducks' perspective, especially through the first two periods, I think the Ducks should feel really good about keeping pace with a high-scoring, fast-paced team. Granato's doing a good job. But, Zegras showed what he could do today and getting a couple of goals and an assist. He's in on all our goals. And I thought that for a struggling Ducks club, I thought they should feel pretty good about what they put out there.
Well, Zegras' success you can attribute to the fact that I dropped him off my fantasy team last week. So, of course he's going to start dumping pucks in the net after he's on my fantasy roster.
Right.
But, the Ducks definitely were definitely keeping up with them. Gibby left in some tough ones, especially on the left side. For some reason, he just couldn't seem to stop anything going in on his left.
Yeah,
but, the Sabres are finally starting to reap some of the benefits of all those draft picks from not making the playoffs for years. And when you draft high year after year after year, it's just a matter of time until all those first-round picks start to mature. But you're right. Granato was the coach to bring it out of them. Without the right coaching, you can have all the talent you want, but you got to have a guy who is patient enough to let it develop and coaches to the players instead of trying to make the players play to the coach.
Yeah, and he's doing a he's doing a fine job, and so we're hoping here, Mason McTavish and Trevor Zegras, and we really miss a young defenseman by the name of Jamie Drysdale out here. He was sixth overall a couple of years back, and you know, look at what Rasmus Dahlin is doing. You need
Dahlin's really come on and Powers really demonstrating why he was a first overall pick.
Yep,
and I mean, you're on your way for the Connor Bedard. Ping pong balls. So
yeah,
I mean,
you know, the only thing, you know, what's interesting, you know, about that, the thing about that, Dennis, is, you know, you never know where the ball's going to land. You know what I mean? So it's in football.
You don't have to tell me
if
about
you're last, you're last. if you're last, you go first. So, but anyway, listen, Dennis, I got to move on, but I really appreciate your your calling Duck Calls, and thanks for chiming in all the way from Buffalo, New York, and good to hear
one
your
more
voice.
Thing before I let
all
you
all right,
go.
There he is. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, we cut. Oh, I'm sorry. Dennis dropped. All right. Well, whatever. Dennis has a million things to say about hockey. I'm sure I'll hear from him again. But I'll tell you what. I really think it stands out in stark relief what it would have meant for Jamie Drysdale to be in the lineup. I think this would have been his kind of a game. I really hope that he gets, you know, if he gets well before the end of the season, maybe we'll have a chapter of the season where we can, you know, we can see Jamie Drysdale out there on the ice and enjoy what he does. 714-940-2888 if you want to call me here in my first segment. I'm going to be bringing up Mick Kern in the next segment. As far as today, look, you're six. I don't, doesn't the number doesn't mean a whole lot. You're 6-9-4 now when you shoot more than 30 times. And you know, in a struggling season, it's something to bear in mind. I was hoping that the Ducks would get some quick shots off, and they did today. And I like that they played this high-paced game, and I think that they really should give a good think to this as to keeping the faith in this high-paced kind of game that they can play, getting their shots off quickly. There's some, you know, look, there along the way, there's some miscues, there's some fumbles, and there was some there was some great plays made by some young Sabres who are really coming on, and they are on the playoff bubble, but you never know, they may snap their long string 11 years without a playoff appearance. So as far as the Ducks go, you know, it's great to see Trevor Zegras rise to the occasion. You know, wish we could have built on that. And I also liked on his second goal, I've been saying, you know, I'd love to see him take it into the slot more, and he did on that second goal. Now, his first goal, make no mistake, it was a beautiful shot. He roofed it from close in just south of the faceoff circle on a really nice give-and-go with Ryan Strom just after Samuelson hit the post and they came back on him two-on-one. So good to see Trevor Zegras. He likes playing there. He scored that lacrosse pass goal with former Duck Sonny Milano in Buffalo. So it's obviously a barn he likes playing in. I guess he had some family there because it's just about a seven-hour drive away. So let's do this. Let's take a break here on Duck Calls, and I'm going to give a call to Mr. Mick Kern, and we will come back after this commercial break, and we'll do some more hockey talk. Let's get Mick Kern going from SiriusXM. Sabres 6, Ducks 3. I'll talk to you right after this.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's the sound of Karen getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers are providing her mom with a portable oxygen tank. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services.
On the ice or in the boardroom, winning depends on teamwork and strategy. PDF Tron provides businesses worldwide with tools to process digital documents by increasing efficiency and reducing time spent and money wasted. PDF Tron is changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. Stop sitting in the penalty box filled with paper documents and get out on the ice with high-powered digital document processing. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. Get ready to go orange for Orangewood on Friday, February 17th, as the Ducks take on the LA Kings at Honda Center. Join the Anaheim Ducks Foundation for a pregame reception in the Brewery X Beer Garden, as well as an opportunity to mingle with Ducks players after the game. For more information, please visit AnaheimDucks.com/fundraising. AnaheimDucks.com/fundraising. All right, my guest today, you hear him every day, starting at, let me make sure I get, 8 a.m. Pacific time. I listen to Mick Kern and Peter Burse on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio, Monday through Friday. He's a longtime friend of the show. He does a great job there on Sirius. Here he is now, Mr. Mick Kern. How you doing, Mick?
Pretty good.
Good. And, hey, it's not 1 o'clock in the morning back east when I normally call you.
No, I was shocked. I'm not usually up this time of the day. I'm sleeping because I got to be up all night. The Ducks are doing the West Coast, the East Coast swing, of course. So, yeah, it was a nice change.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I guess, Mick, the thing that strikes me about this 6-3 loss in Buffalo, Buffalo pulls away in the third period, is I think that the Ducks should feel good about keeping the pace and keeping up with Buffalo, Buffalo's high scoring, fast paced club. I thought the Ducks, it's been kind of rare this season, but they've actually put some good puck pressure on. They've actually managed to get the horses jumping, and they had a really good second period. And Trevor Zegras got a couple goals. I thought there was some things to like there for the Ducks, even though in the end you just didn't have enough to topple a high scoring Sabre club.
Well, that kind of sums up the season. Look, the Ducks are lost six of their past seven, won 5-1, as you know. Buffalo's actually in a hunt for a playoff spot in the East. They're about four back of a wild card. I don't know if they make it, but they're there. They're further ahead in their trajectory, in their evolution, than the Ducks are. So this isn't a surprise. It's about next year and the year after for the Ducks. So what you want to see if you're a fan is you never abandon your team. You want to see hope. You want to see signs. So Trevor Zegras, we know, is a young star with two goals and an assist, and two nice goals, too. That's what you have to hang your hat on. I thought John Gibson continues to play well, 33 saves. His win-loss record is not going to reflect what kind of goal he is because of the team in front of him. So you have to take the positives out of it. And the Ducks can be what Buffalo are a couple of years from now. And who knows? You end up with Connor Bedard, which is very possible. Talking to my draft guy, Shane Malloy, on the show the other day, he said the two teams he'd like to see Bedard go to are either Montreal or Anaheim, because he thinks he wouldn't have to be the man right away. There's enough young talent on both teams who are rebuilding that Connor Bedard could, and this is wishing, but you got to look at this stuff, Josh. And I think if you're a Ducks fan, yeah, you got more balls in the lottery machine, you have to look at the positives right now.
No, I would definitely agree. You know, it's again, the balls are going to drop where they drop, and you never really know, somebody could pop up ahead of you. But look, certainly there are some very good prospects coming down in that draft. And you know who the Ducks miss, Mick, is Jamie Drysdale. I really yes. think our blue line could you know, really use a guy who can handle the puck that way and move the way he moves.
Yeah, he's going to be a fantastic player. He already is. He played 8 games this year before the injury, so he's going to be back. He's going to be a difference maker. I don't know if he's going to be a star, but he's going to be an impact player. So, yeah, I think he will be a star, actually, now that I think of it. You got guys like you know, Noah Warren in the system. There are guys. There are guys coming. And again, Ducks fans who have been accustomed to good teams, but at the same time, Ducks haven't been in the playoffs since, what, 2018? So this is a dry spell. And you can talk to Buffalo fans about it, the team you played today. It's been a long time in Western New York since they've been in the playoffs, like, what, 11 years and counting? And they sort of lost their way for a while. When every team goes, you know this, Josh, and people listening know this, every team in every sport has a down cycle. It just happens. The key is to make sure you make the brevity of it. You keep it short, the down cycle, that you do all the right things to come back. You don't panic. You don't pay for overpriced, over-the-hill veterans to get a quick shot. You build carefully. And the Ducks are going through growing pains right now. And they're not a playoff team this year. They're probably not a playoff team next year. But you want to get closer every season. So then the 2 years we do this conversation, they are back in the big postseason.
You know, he didn't factor in the scoring today, Mick, but Mason McTavish, you know, I mean, I think every Canadian hockey fan knows what Mason McTavish's potential is. You know, you saw what he did in the World Juniors, and why don't you give me your take on him? And I'll remind everybody, this is, look, you want the first pick, but Cale Makar was third overall. Mason McTavish was third overall. And so, you know, I think McTavish is a guy who has a very bright future, and I think that he's going to be playing a bigger man's game as his game evolves.
Yeah, he's second in the rookie scoring right now, just behind Matty Beniers up the map there in Seattle. Yep. He's and Beniers probably is the favorite to be a rookie of the year, but McTavish is in the conversation. As it stands now, he'll probably be one of the three finalists when they give out the awards in June, whenever they do it. Yeah, he's a good player. You always want to be strong down the ice, obviously in goal. You want a really good defenseman. Drysdale should be that guy in your center position. That's the toughest position in some way. Say goaltender and defense. It's center. The two-way player, if people don't know hockey as well, the center's got to be the third defenseman at times. He's also got to be the linchpin for the offense. He may not be the sniper, but he's got to set everything up, and he's got to be able to score. It really is the complete player. And McTavish has a lot of that that potential. So 27 points in 46 games now, whatever it may be. It's not too shabby, second in scoring for rookies.
Oh, indeed, and his confidence is growing. You know, there's a player here, and I'm going to talk about him again tonight, is Adam Henrique. You know, he's plays a 200-foot game for us. He's a very reliable guy. And he puts up the points as well. But he's also, you know, it's an interesting position because, and I don't like to do the trade rumor mill, but I got to say, you know, it's, you wonder, Mick, whether that would be a guy who a lot of clubs would probably come calling on as the trade deadline draws closer. He's kind of that glue guy who can be productive and responsible and stay out of the box and play a smart guy's game, you know, and I wonder what you think about Adam Henrique's future in the short term here.
Yeah, good player. The thing is, though, what is he, 32, I think. He's making about 5.8.
Yeah.
He signed for this year and next
yes.
year. So a team that gets him won't get him as a rental. They'll have him for next year, too. How does he fit into a team? I think he would be a good fit for someone. If I'm the Ducks, I don't know what kind of bounty I'm going to get back. You're not going to get a whole bunch of prospects in first round draft points. And Adam Henrique is a good player, but we're not talking an all-star here. I don't mean if he's been to the all-star game, I don't count that. I mean end of the season all-stars. If I'm the Ducks, I explore all that territory. I even go back to John Gibson at some point and say, are you sure you don't want to go? We love you. We'll retire your jersey when you're finished. But at this point with the Ducks, it's not, as I said, obviously it's not about this year. It's not about next year. It's what can I get? How can I improve this team for when we are a power? Now, in case of Gibson, he signed forever. He signed to the end of 26-27 season. And I'm not saying get rid of him. I like him as a goaltender, but you know this, Josh. If you're going to get something, you got to give up something. And when the Ducks are good again, Gibson will be in his early 30s. That doesn't mean he's going to be over the hill. Goaltenders are fine wine. They can still perform at that quote-unquote advanced age in hockey. But if I'm the Ducks, I'm looking at anyone calls me up, I'm listening to the conversation outside of Trevor Zegras
and the guys we've talked about. I'm not shipping the young guys out. Anyone else to me is available.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, I just want to acknowledge before I go on in my conversation with Mick, Isaac Lundstrom, welcome back to the lineup. This is a guy who really started to come on last season. He's got speed, and speaking of playing a 200-foot game, he plays that. I think that he would be nicely slotted as spending a career as our third-line center. I think he's Sammy Paulson with speed, quite honestly, and very useful player. Now, Mick, let me point out that the Ducks have a first-round draft pick. They have 3 second-round draft picks and 2 third-round draft picks, and then a 4th, a 5th, and a 6th in this upcoming draft. Now, Mick, let's turn our attention to some other spots in the league here. Erik Karlsson spoke openly about the elephant in the room the other day, telling the Got Your Back podcast that with regard to whether he could be traded, he says, I want to win. And as you get older, you realize that it's not as easy to win as it looks. You've got to hit it at the right time. Well, he's 34 years old. He's bounced back like, you know, nobody's business, 62 points in 46 games, including 15 goals. He's way up in the scoring chart for a defenseman. That's rare. And he's in the fourth year of a big 8-year contract. Now, he says that GM Mike Greer should explore all options for the Sharks. But, boy, if somebody can manage the numbers here, this would be quite a haul for Erik Karlsson. Give me your thoughts on the Erik Karlsson situation.
I guess so. I wouldn't touch him. I acknowledge he's having a good year, but I wouldn't go near him, Josh. He's actually 32, and you're going to pay him 11.5 for the next 4 years. And this is a great resurrection of his career. He's going to the Hall of Fame, I think, just for the years he played in Ottawa. He was a dynamic defenseman, one of the best, if not the best, at years. And I love the year he's having. He'd be a great pickup. He would make a team better down the stretch. Absolutely. I'm not worried about that. I've then got him for 4 more years after that. And I just think the law of diminishing returns on him would be huge. And I think people who get him, if they were to get him, the fans would go, this is great. If you get a couple of it, it's worth it. But if you don't, you got him for 4 more years, and I'm not sure he's going to play this way for the next 4 years. It's not a risk I'd take.
Yeah, and by the way, I stand corrected. That's right. He is 32 years old. Things have been up and down. It's an $11.5 million contract. It will be a very interesting situation. You wonder who's on the list of people kicking the tires. You wonder if the Edmonton Oilers are kicking the tires on it.
Oh, and what would he fetch?
Max,
because the Ducks aren't just going to give him up. I'm not sure. I want to sacrifice too much of my future. If I think I'm on the precipice of winning a cup and he's going to make the difference, then yeah, I bite the bullet. I'm all in, and I'll give up some prospects. I'll probably have to give up a roster player, and then I'm on the hook for 11.5 for the next 4 years. But if I get a cup out of it, which is so hard to do, then it will justify it. But man, that's a rolling of the bones that I personally, if I were a GM, I would not do.
Well, look, it's interesting. It's like Brian Burke said, that trade deadline day is the day when the most mistakes are made. So you may have a very good point there. Okay, let's move on to talk about Max Pacioretty. I feel terrible for this guy. He appeared in just 5 games for Carolina. He scored 3 goals, but they were really counting on him, and he re-injured the same Achilles tendon that kept him out of the first 38 games of the season. That's hard to take. I've had a tendon injury. You'd rather break a bone. They're always difficult. And this is too bad. This really ends his season, and it might even end his career, Mick. Which direction does Carolina go? Do they enter the Bo Horvat sweepstakes? What happens?
Yeah, it was a freakish injury in a way. I mean, he's 34. He's had a really good career. We're not talking Hall of Fame or anything. He's just had a solid career, over 300 goals, 855 games played, just checking it up now, the majority with Montreal, good run with Vegas, and now Carolina brought him in, and he's had basically a cup of coffee with him. What, 5 games? He scored 3 goals. They were counting on his veteran leadership, and this is a guy who's never hit 40 goals, but he flirted with it, especially in Montreal, 39, 37, 35, 30. He says, you want a 30-goal scorer in your lineup. You want a veteran presence in your lineup. He's been a captain. He understands pressure, especially in a city like Montreal. So he's a perfect pickup. It is a shame for Carolina. Now people wonder if they're back in the Bo Horvat sweepstakes out of Vancouver because he may fit that kind of role. But they already had a guy without having to give up anybody. And, you know, welcome to sports. Injuries are never an excuse, but they are a reason. Every team goes, Colorado about injuries this year, for example. It's a shame. It was a freakish accident. People went, what, did he rush back? I don't know that. That's for people who are medical people to decide that. But players want to come back. They want to come back. And at some point, you got to get back on the ice. It's just a shame it happened. I wondered if he caught a rut in the ice, because that happens, or it just collapsed on him. It's a shame. But now it's going to be interesting to see what Carolina does, because they are a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. They have one of the best blue lines in the league. I think they're the highest scoring blue line. They do it by committee, Josh. They don't really have – Sebastian Aho is a young star, but there's no superstars on the team. Nobody's a superstar on that team. That word is used too much. They do it by committee. They're impressive. But here's the thing. Just like Tampa two or three years ago, just like Colorado last year, Carolina's like Toronto. It's all going to be – it's a nice regular season. What are you going to do in the playoffs? Both Carolina and Toronto are examples of teams that, yeah, that's fine. Show me what you do in the postseason. So I wonder if they have to pick someone up to fill that gap. Even though, as you said, he hasn't been on the team long, they had expectations for him, and now he's not going to be available.
Yeah, and just to continue on this, I've said a number of times, boy, you know, you don't find a lot of Brent Burns out there. They just don't sell too many of them. And I thought this was a really astute pickup. You know, I think back to what a guy like Chris Pronger brought here to Anaheim, just from an Anaheim perspective. And when you add a guy like Brent Burns, you're adding a guy who a lot of people do not want to go in the corner against. I just think he's a monster back there. Now, the interesting thing is Frederik Andersen is back in the lineup now, and his numbers are similar to Peter Kachekov, who I know had to be sent down. I don't know if they're sending him down and back up or what they're doing. But Carolina is certainly interesting, and they've made some pretty astute decisions. We'll see if they can carry it forward. Mick, let's talk now. It's hockey day in Canada. Every day of my life, Saturday night, is hockey night in Canada.
Wait a minute. Every day in Canada is hockey remember. Day in Canada. Every day. 8 days a week, as the Beatles said. It's hockey day in Canada. Yeah,
I know it. I know it is. I know. Trust me. I know. And anything less than a gold medal is a national tragedy. So, on that note, let's double back, which is cool. I mean, look, I grew up staring at Canada right across the river, so I get it. I get the vibe. Okay, interesting today. Connor McDavid, who I, you know, to me, it's so obvious that he's the game's greatest player. He can become the fastest NHL player to reach 40 goals in a season since Pavel Bure did it in 48 games in 1999-2000. So let's talk about the Edmonton Oilers for a moment here. I mentioned them as per Erik Karlsson. Do you think they're looking for a defenseman? Do you think that Evander Kane is going to come back as big a contributor as he was? He's a big guy, and I think he does great things for the Edmonton Oilers. But where do you see them? Are they top-heavy? Do they look for a defenseman? Where do you think they sit? They went to the conference final last year.
Yes to all those questions. They've been looking for a defenseman, apparently, since I lived there in the 70s and then in the WHA. Yeah, they're looking for a defenseman. What can they give up? They are top-heavy, but when you can score like that, when you've got, I believe, three of the 13, I have to check the stats. No, he's still 13th. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins having a heck of a year, 54 points in 47 games. That'd be good to lead some teams. Oh, you don't need to, because Draisaitl has 72 points, but David has a whopping 86 in 47 games. We haven't seen that in a long time in the National Hockey League. And he's a dynamic player. He had a big key goal. They're not empty goals. It was a key goal and a win the other night. They're a wild card, and here's the thing about the wacky Pacific, as you know, as Ducks fans, if they're keeping track of it, yeah, they're not in the high-rent district of the division right now. But Edmonton, as we speak, have 55 points. They're 3 points out of first. Now, Seattle has a few games in hand. Vegas has a game in hand. And, yes, I know it's crazy. Seattle's in first, and they're legitimate. But Edmonton's there. LA is there. Colorado is in a different division, but they're sneaking up in the wild card. And Calgary, who are playing right now, on my television screen at home against Tampa, they're in the running. It's a wild five-team race for the Pacific, the top three, and someone's going to miss because Colorado's waking up. And Edmonton could easily finish first. And if they're not careful, you can't hit any black ice anymore, Josh, because it's so close in both conferences for the teams that are in the running. You could go from first outside of the Boston, outside of Boston, it seems to have it locked up in the Atlantic. You could go from first to out of the playoffs if you have one bad stretch of games. So, yeah, Edmonton's there. They went to the conference final last year. No idea. I don't bet. It's not something I'm comfortable with. I'm not against it. I just don't make enough money. I wouldn't bet any money at Edmonton, not because I don't believe in them. I just don't know what's going to happen. Who saw Seattle at this point in the season being in first place in the Pacific? And if you tell me someone, I'd laugh because nobody saw it. So, yeah, Edmonton is looking for a DM.
Well, no.
But again, Josh, what are they going to surrender? What are they going to give up?
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, Mick, let's finish with this because I'm up against it here. Let's talk about the Seattle Kraken. I mean, you talk about Andre Burakovsky now up to 38 points, a nice number there. And I like Oliver Bjorkstrand, not as big a scorer, but I like the addition. And now Martin Jones is showing some stuff. His numbers are not spectacular, but he's certainly winning games. He's won 22 games for them. Why don't you give me your take on the Seattle Kraken before we get out of here?
They're look, for a second-year team, I had a joke when they joined the league. Who'd win the Cup first, Vegas or Seattle, just because they're the new kids on the block. And my tongue was in my cheek because I do believe in the Vegas Golden Knights with all the trials and tribulations they've been through, pretty successful out of the gate. But Seattle, they've arrived early. They're, to me, the two surprise teams, the Devils in the East, Seattle in the West. And they just met up the other day. Seattle does it like Carolina does, and go figure, Ron Francis, who played enough in Hartford / Carolina, is the architect with a bunch of other people, but he's the main point man for the Kraken. There isn't a star yet. Matty Beniers may end up being a star, but right now it's by committee. And you're right, Martin Jones is being Martin Jones. He's not spectacular, but he's solid. He's kind of doing the Darcy Kemper thing. Just keep me in it. And Kemper's, by the way, playing really well for Washington. Just keep me in it. Don't give up stupid goals. Make that first save. We'll take care of the rest. And I saw them here in Toronto, the Kraken, a couple of weeks ago. In the first period, I was like, okay, it might be an off night. Second period, they came out. I don't know what was said. They took over against a very good Leafs team, and they won 5-1. The Kraken did. And I was impressed that they just full court press, to use a basketball term. They had everything going. They're not a fluke. They're not going to fall out of the playoff race. They're the real thing. And I'm impressed by the Seattle Kraken. And I think Shane Wright's going to be a heck of a player. He's not going to be a superstar, but he's going to be a really good player. And I think he'll be on the team come October. He's still developing. He went back to junior here in Canada, as you know. And he's getting better and better. I'm impressed by how they carefully built Seattle within 2 years. And to finish up, I know you're up against, I'll just say this. This gives hope to any team that if you just take your time and don't panic and have a patient owner, you can put together a good team. You just have to keep your eye on the puck, as they say.
No, I agree, and I hope Duck fans will have faith in that. I know it's been a struggling season, but I see a lot of good signs, and I see a good pipeline here. Mick Kern, always great, and I love listening to you Monday through Friday. Everybody should be listening to Mick Kern and Peter Burris every morning there on SiriusXM. And Mick, thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on Duck Calls.
Anytime, sir. Talk soon.
All right, there he is, Mick Kern. All right, folks. Great edition of Duck Calls. I'm sorry the Ducks couldn't get out on the top of the ledger here, but I will be talking to you on Tuesday. We're going to Arizona. 5:30 is the pregame. 6 o'clock is the game. Thanks again for listening to Duck Calls. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you Tuesday. Go Ducks.